Good morning, everyone. This is a reading from Whispers from Eternity, written by Paramahansa Yogananda, number 46. Let me feel that thou and I art one. When the sparks of cosmic creation flew from under thy crucible of love, I danced with all the lights that heralded the coming of a myriad worlds. I am a little spark of thy joyous cosmic fire. O thou sun of life, as the nectar poured into the little cups of human minds filled with molten liquid of vital sparks, they thought to contain thy golden infinity in the smallness of their human feelings. In each fragile, undulating mirror of human flesh, I see reflected thy restless dance of omnipresent power. In the lambent waters of life, I behold thy ever steady, almighty life. Teach me, Christ-like, by the power of concentration, to still the restless storms of desire raging on the lake of my mind. Stilling those waters, I lovingly behold thy unruffled face of cosmic stillness. Cause the little wave of my life to subside, that thy consciousness in me spread out to become thine own vastness. Swamiji has been speaking to us for weeks now about this topic of attunement, of seeing God in everything. And then yesterday morning, we had a four-hour retreat. It was a Kriyabhan retreat, long before any of us were thinking about these readings. We called it attuning our consciousness to our gurus. So clearly, it's the moment to be focusing on attunement. First, he spoke directly about attunement, and he did that right from the stories of Martha and Mary and forward. Then he spoke about God being the source of everything, as he's doing in this reading, about the grace of God being offered to us at all times, and God is the doer. Attunement as the vibration of a vibrational way of connecting to the divine, and this God is the doer as energy, but he keeps coming back to it. I had to smile when Tandava sang that song, because it is thought of as a children's song. And yet, in that song, we see this very principle of really attuning ourselves to divine energy, to spiritual principles, and then bringing that to everything that we do in life. So here is Swamiji writing this, what was meant to be and what feels like, in many ways, a children's song. Did I say childlike before? I meant children, in case I said childlike. Not at all childlike, but a children's song. And yet, really, every lesson that we want to learn on the spiritual path is really right in that little song. Just Swamiji being such a perfect example in every moment of his life to us. I was really touched hearing that song, which of course was perfect for today. I wanted to read something that Jyotish read for those of you who watched the Sunday service from the village last week, when the topic was very clearly, directly about attunement. He read a letter that he had received from a gurubai in India just that morning, because that day was, or the day before actually, was Guru Purnima. And so in celebration of the Guru's presence in each of our lives, she had sent him this reading by Yogananda. And it was so beautiful and so relevant to everything that we're thinking about, meditating on, speaking about. I wanted to read it again. Again, this is Master's words. The guru-disciple relationship is the highest expression of friendship, for it is based on unconditional divine love and wisdom. It is the loftiest and most sacred of all relationships. Christ and his disciples were one in spirit, as are my master, Sri Yukteswar, and I, and those who are in tune with me because of the common bond of divine love. He says, the loftiest and most sacred of all relationships because of the common bond of divine love. One who partakes of this relationship is on the way to wisdom and freedom. It's just such a beautiful summary of the guru-disciple relationship. Swamiji writes in his expansion of this reading, when he's explaining the readings, he says, the spiritual path is beset with, and he uses these phrases, countless pitfalls, countless tempting detours, and countless false leads. When I read this last night, let me just pause for a moment. Is the sound going out?
No, it's totally fine.
Okay, totally fine.
Sorry.
I'm here watching all of the tech support that you are not watching, and they are abuzz. So I just wanted to make sure that in fact you were hearing me. But let me just repeat those phrases again. Countless pitfalls, countless detours, and countless false leads. It reminded me of a hike that I took many years ago now, up in the state of Washington, into an area that was called the Enchantments. And it was like that, this place that was just filled with glacial lakes, and which probably many of you know are this magnificent turquoise. The mountains are gorgeous if you haven't been there, and if you're a hiker, great place to go. But as we drove towards the park, we stopped at a information booth or something for the park, and they said to us, many of the trails are closed because there have been so many major rock slides there. So you'll just have to find your way up to the top. And they said, be careful because the rock slides are still happening. That should have been our first clue. But we, of course, I was with two girlfriends. We kept going. We were on a backpacking trip. And we hiked our way up to where we were going to camp. And the next day, making many mistakes along the way, but they are not the point exactly of this talk. So I'll leave them and the embarrassment that could come with them out. But we made a few very bad decisions. It was very easy to see our way to the top. You just find your way to the top. We were aware because there were little rock slides going on the whole time. And we knew at any moment that could turn into a big rock slide, but that didn't deter us. We got up there, we had a lovely couple of hours, and then we went to find our way down. And that was extremely difficult, just for the reason that Swamiji said. It was exactly like the spiritual path. We would start walking down, and we would all of a sudden come to a huge, deep crevice that was impassable, that we could not have seen until we got to it. Then we would be out on a little finger of land, so we would have to find our way all the way back. back up and try yet again. Everything about that path was hidden from us until the moment when we could come to it and see. And it was just this, countless false leads, countless pitfalls. It was so real. And interestingly, in its own way, the part of the story that I won't tell right now, it was life-threatening because we could have fallen, we might not have gotten out of there, there could have been a rock slide, very much in the way that Swamiji is alluding to here, that if you don't have a guide, if you're not spending this life plugging into the way that we need a guide to move through life, you're not even just risking your life. We know for sure that we cannot follow this spiritual path without plugging into, attuning ourselves to the essence, to God, to the divine, through our masters that have that broader perspective that can really show us the way, that we have to understand the importance of practicing attunement, or we will not be able to develop spiritually. That is exactly what this reading is about. When Swamiji takes the reading, or what Jesus was talking about, when he's talking about the vines and the branches, the vines are super consciousness. The vines are cosmic consciousness. They are the source of that consciousness. And the branches are us. And it's the tendency of the branch to want to grow out, to grow away from the vine. And it's precisely what happens to us. And Christ is saying, I can exist without you, but you cannot exist without me. And we need to rather turn to the source of all that is to be able to exist the way we want to exist in this life. And this is precisely what this reading is about. It's about that relationship of the ego to the soul. It's the commentary on the natural tendency to be separated from that which is the source of all that we are, and how it leads to death. Many of you may remember, this just came to me again. I planted these an ivy-like plant when I first moved into the apartment that I live in to provide some privacy between myself and my neighbor. And as long as those vines, those branches were connected to the vines, they had this enormous strength. They started growing up the building and I couldn't get them off. It became a real thing, which is why several years ago I was talking about them. And then I realized that as soon as I could cut them from their source, then I had to wait a while, just like God waits a while for us. But as soon as I would cut them and wait a while, then I could take them off of the building, off of the windows, off of everything that they were grabbing onto. This is precisely what God does for us. He brings us here with an understanding of wholeness, and we find infinite ways, literally infinite ways, to excuse me, to separate ourselves from him. And Christ is saying, and Swamiji is saying, if you want to grow spiritually, you absolutely must realize it's not that you can learn it, because we can't learn it. We have to find a way to plug into superconsciousness. And It is what our path is about. This is what I was saying yesterday for those of you who were there, and what Sai Ganesh was saying when he spoke, but it's the truth. It just needs to be stated again. There's no way to find that freedom that we're looking for, that Master spoke about in that first reading. Those who get on this path are on their way to freedom. And if we don't, or when we veer off of it, there is no other way, because we can't create truth. We can only perceive it. We can't create that ultimate reality. We have to and can only realize it. And that realization, that attunement that we're moving towards, is the whole goal of the spiritual path. Swamiji himself said that Kriya Yoga, which in other talks I've heard him say is the essence of our path, and of course it is for all of us who are practicing it, but Kriya Yoga and the other techniques that we do, whatever it is that we do, are really only guiding us on our way to the ultimate goal, which is discipleship and attunement. Nothing that we're doing until then is the goal. We are constantly looking to the vine for everything. Excuse me, I'm just going to grab a drink of water. Let's see if I can get my voice back a little better. But on our way to aligning our souls with their ultimate strength, wisdom, grace. This is what these readings, all of these readings, for many weeks now are telling us. And Swamiji says that's what's important. Of course the techniques are important because we ourselves need them, but they're not the goal. They're not the end of where we're going. But the masters come to us and show us in every way that they can that they're here, as I said before, through their power, through their grace. And that grace becomes the next spiritual goal, in a way that we say, how can we open ourselves to that grace? What does that even really mean? What it means is raising our consciousness so that we are placing ourselves in a place, on the path, in a way that grace can descend to us. That's what's happening. God, the vine, is everything, and he has everything we need, and he is looking for us. Swamiji coined a beautiful phrase for our role in this when he talked about in a book that he was writing, that again, as Sai Ganesh mentioned yesterday, never became a book, but became a reading and something that we all heard. Such a beautiful phrase, cooperating with grace. It was, you know, again, just as I was saying about the song, so perfect that we have to cooperate with grace for it to descend. And although Swami is changing the kind of little way that he's trying to hand us these teachings over the weeks, so as I said last week, it was so clearly about attunement. This week, he tries to say to us a little more, God's power, God's grace, God's energy is everything. You cannot take a step forward on the path without it. He speaks a lot in the expanded readings about how every bit of creativity that we have, everything that we manifest, is a manifestation of the divine. But all of these qualities, all of them, the grace, I mean the attunement, the grace, and the power, that he speaks to, this beautiful reading in the Bhagavad Gita that says, everyone in this world whose life is glorious or prosperous or powerful know that his achievement is but a little spark from the great sun of my effulgence. I remember some years ago, Devi was here, Jyotishin Devi. I don't remember when it was or what it was, but she was giving a talk, and she spoke about power in such a wonderful way. She spoke about aspects of how divine power comes to us. The first thing she said to us is that it gives us the power to greet, to overcome, to transform whatever it is that's handed to us on this path. That is an enormous gift, the power of God coming to us in that way. Many of you know I'm going through a just an enormous experience in my life right now. The first letter that I ever wrote to the community about it, I said, I'll save the details because I'm sure they will find their way into many talks and classes and sermons. And they have to, because these really big experiences that are custom made for us, but come with such a wealth of spiritual teaching that needs to be shared. And without going into the details of it right now, I'm in a situation with my family where I'm getting to see and experience firsthand in the most exquisite way what it means to need to come up against those most powerful, challenging moments in life. If one has been spending time awakening to this divine support, to this divine compass, to the realization that God is guiding everything, that it's his grace, his power, that chant that we were doing, God's power, vitality, good health, strength. Why did that have so much power? We've been singing it for months. Because it's reminding us that that's what's happening. We are not doing anything so that I can face this situation with such equanimity that I can become, God becomes, literally that divine energy that's unwavering, becomes the source of strength for everyone who's needing to go through this situation of a sudden, severe, life-threatening, imminently life-threatening situation in a young family. And what I get to see is that when it's not rooted in God, when it's not rooted in the divine, when it's not rooted in either the awareness, or we maybe need to keep reminding ourselves, but we know to, because we are magnetically drawn there, because we've been practicing and offering ourselves into that. We've been increasing the magnetism between us and that divine energy. When that's not there, it creates an enormous amount of nervous tension, of fear. Well, of course it would. How could it not? If you are up against life feeling that you need to do it all, you can't. You start spending huge amounts of energy organizing what's out there, even if it's being done with huge love, perfect intention for the people that you're serving. When you're on your own, no, it's like cutting the branch from the vine. You have to wither. That is what will happen. It may not look that way in the moment, but when you realize that that source of strength, that God's power is coming through you to that situation, well, nothing that's of deep meaning on the spiritual path becomes impossible. Of course, I can't save lives. That can't happen. But I can be there as a source of God's strength to allow that strength, that vitality, that power to flow through me to support other people who are absolutely taking their next steps on the spiritual path, just like I am. So it's not going to look the same, but this is why Davy used those words, the power to deal with whatever comes our way. It is huge. It's such a blessing. Master came to us to bring us these techniques, but also his grace, his power. All we need to do is turn our attention in that way. That's the blessing, his consciousness. He gave us the techniques because we need them to attune ourselves to that. But his consciousness that he brought, the real gift. And the other thing Davy said is the power to become the sons of God. That was so, it's just, I couldn't find the talk. I don't remember when it was, but those two things, she may well have said more, came to me. Because in Swamiji's song, we children of this world cannot love by our own power to become the sons of God. Look at the stories that we have. Look at what happened when Master Paramahansa Yogananda is looking at Rajasi, his main disciple, and he who just moves into samadhi all the time. He's living there. He's on the cliffs over the beaches in Encinitas in samadhi. Master knows this, and yet he looks at Rajasi one day. He says, Rajasi, never forget where your power comes from. And like a little boy, Swamiji tells us, I won't forget, Master. I know it comes from you. He's a son of God. He never forgot it. And when Rajasi said to Swamiji, after Master left his body, Master had said to Swamiji, I'm looking there because the picture of it's over there. He said, you have a great work to do. And nobody heard that, but Swamiji, which Swami tells us many times, but after Master left his body, Rajasi says to Swamiji at some point, God has a great work for you to do, and he will give you the power to do it. Again, to realize that we are the sons of God, to hold this to us as often as we can throughout the day, just to think of these words, attunement, grace, power. They are the words for our path. All ways that God is calling to us over and over, and that everything that we do, everything, is really about moving us to the source. That is the beauty of this reading, and the beauty of that reading from the Gita. Krishna says, just make no mistake about it, you're just a spark of the sun of my effulgence. This is what we need to remember. This is the practice. This is another practice. Yes, we sit to meditate. How can we set up our lives so that as many moments as possible, it's you, God, it's you, Master, it's you, Swamiji. I know where my power comes from, not it's me. I just share one more story with you in closing. As magnificent an experience as this time with my son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and grandchildren is being, and it is. It has nothing to do with me. It came as a calling. I said to my partner, Barry, the minute I heard, I need to go to them. It was, this has nothing to do with Shanti. Let me put it that way. I'm meant to be there, I'm there. So much about their lives, their perfect lives, perfect. They were thriving, they have a beautiful life for themselves. It's absolutely quintessentially different from how I love to live day by day. I love quiet. I don't play music. I don't watch television. I do long meditations. I could go on and on. Many of you know me. And they love music and loud, and they just love it. My granddaughters each have an iPad in front of them and a laptop in front of them, and there's music pouring through both, and they love watching a lot of television. Both of the adults are musicologists. I don't feel at all critical of it. It's just people who know me know I have noise-reducing headphones that I walk around the world with at times. Somehow, none of that is bothering me. I just feel like I'm in a sea of love there. I'm saying it to you. I am. I'm in God's love. He wanted me there. He's driven me up and down Route 5 in the form of my friend Lakshmi at times, but nonetheless, getting there. And yet, there are moments, it's happened to me twice now, where my feelings have gotten hurt. In this moment of utter perfection, where I want to say, but what about me? Why? And then the end of that, which I don't need to share with you now, in this situation or that. And then grace descends. Shanti, you're not doing this for yourself. This has nothing to do with you. This is God's power, God's grace flowing through you. This is the closest and truest experience of Nishkam Karma that you've ever had. Don't make any mistakes here. That memory, nope, you're not veering away from that. And that's just my experience. But I know everyone has them. Catch it early. Bring yourself back. Oh, wait a minute, God. You're in charge here. Wait a minute. You're the source of everything. What was I thinking? How do you want me to be? How can I serve better? How can I love better? In those ways, we just find our way again and again and again back to the source of all that is. And in doing that, we put ourselves in that place where God's grace itself descends and touches us over and over and over. Bless
you. Nominally one of Swami's children's songs, but like most of his music, it's really something good for all of us to be singing all day.
Guide me, Lord, throughout this day, in all I do, in all I say. Tell me when I go astray, hold me in thy light. Help me see that happiness comes not with wanting more but less. Teach me all my friends to bless, hold them in thy light. Guide me, Lord, throughout this day, in all I do, in all I say. Tell me when I go astray, hold me in thy light. Help me see that happiness comes not with wanting more but less. Teach me all my friends to bless, hold them in thy light.